Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on Daf Lamed Vavam Beis. We are 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Lamed Vavam Beis. And Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom. Misham Shem Aliyah. We thank Dr. Lander very, very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So what we're going to pick up with is we're going to discuss Yosef's interaction with Paro, particularly related to the Shivim Lashon, how Yosef, if he was going to be the viceroy, needed to speak Shivim Lashon, and how Paro was unable to learn Lashon HaKodesh, and how that ultimately helped in the burial of Yaakov Avinu. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, where do we ever find that Yehuda was and that's going to bring us into a discussion of the sequence of events as the Yam split. Who went in first? Who wanted to go in first? Then the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about the formation of the people, of the Jewish people at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And we're going to talk about how many, much of the Daf, starting from the bottom of Amud Aleph, going through pretty much the entire Ambeis, is going to talk about how many brisos we have for each and every mitzvah in the Torah, or for the mitzvahs in the Torah in general. So a lot of accounting just to figure out how many covenants are broken when we violate a mitzvah, or when we, how many covenants are observed when we keep a mitzvah. And that's going to lead us into a little bit of a discussion of arvus, that we're each responsible for one another. The Gemara is going to conclude right before the Mishnah with a discussion about how the brachos came before the klalos, and some other details about how these things were recited by Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And that will bring us finally to the end of the Har Gerizim Har Eval discussion. The last several dapim really have revolved around that discussion of Har Gerizim the Har Eval. So let's begin 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Lamed Vav Am Beis. Amr Rabbi Chibar Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan. B'shar Shom Lo Paro Li Yosef. When Paro said to Yosef that U'beladecha Lo Yorim Ish Es Yado, that look, I'm Paro, but no one else is going to be I'm the only one that's going to be over you, but you're going to be second in command, and no one else has any power over you. So Amr Utztagnine Paro. So Paro's Chachamim and his advisors, they said to him, Eved Shalok Kacha Rabba Ba'esum Kesef Tamshileu Aleinu. This guy, he has no pedigree. You're going to take someone who is an Eved that was purchased for 20 Kesef, and he's going to be the one that it's going to be written in the laws of Mitzrayim that no one is allowed to have any control over him. And we have in the laws of Mitzrayim already that an Eved is not allowed to be a Melech. So Paro said, Ginune Malchus Ani Roebo. He has a pedigree. You can see that he has certain qualities of a king. So yes, he may have been purchased as an Eved, but you could see that he comes from royalty. So Amalos Al-Kham said, Im Cain, if he really comes from royalty, so and he has Simanim that he's deserving of being a Melech, then Yehodeh Shivim Lashon, then he would know how to speak Shivim Lashon, because apparently that was a quality that a Melech needed to have, to speak Shivim Lashon. So Bagavriel Vilimdo Shivim Lashon, so Gavriel came and taught Yosef Shivim Lashon, Lava Kagamar, but Yosef was not that, he was not a quick study. He had a hard time. He didn't have a facility with languages to pick up Shivim Lashon just like that, even when being taught by a Malach. So they added one letter from the name of Hashem into Yosef's name, Vilamad, and all of a sudden, that's where he picked up the facility for language. He was able to pick up Shivim Lashon. Shenemar, Edus Bihosef, Samo B'tzeis Lashon Mitzrayim, so Sasayadati Yeshma, that by adding the letter Hey to the name of Yosef, when he went to be Molech HaMitzrayim, even the languages that he was not able to speak, now he was able to finally speak and understand. Ulamachar, and the next day, after Gabriel taught him the Shivim Lashon, Kalishn Dishtai Parabadei, Ahadulei, any of the languages that Paro started to speak to him in, he was able to respond in that same language. Ishtai Ihu B'Lashon HaKodesh, then Yosef started speaking to Paro. He said, oh, we're playing this game where we're trying all these languages? So Yosef started speaking to Paro in Lashon HaKodesh. Lava Kayada Mayava Amar, but Paro had no idea what he was saying. So Paro said to Yosef, Agmeri, teach me Lashon HaKodesh.
Agmrei v'lo gomer. He tried to teach him, but Paro was not matzliach to learn Lashon HaKodesh. So Paro said to Yosef, Ishtavali d'lo megalis. Right, Gavriel didn't come and teach Paro Lashon HaKodesh. So Paro says, swear to me that you're not going to let anyone know that I don't know Lashon HaKodesh. So Yosef took a shavua that it's going to be their secret. He's not going to tell anybody. The Marsha points out, it's not that Paro was concerned that by his not knowing Lashon HaKodesh, that he's not Roy Lamalchus. To be Roy Lamalchus, he only needs to speak Shivim Lashon. Lashon HaKodesh is not one of Shivim Lashon. It was just a g'nai that there's going to be someone that knows more than the Melech. And the Yosef, apparently, who knew in addition to the Shivim Lashon, knew Lashon HaKodesh, that was a g'nai for Paro. So he made him swear that he's not going to tell anybody that Paro doesn't know Lashon HaKodesh and Yosef does. So Karmelei Avi Yishbiani Lemar. So later on, when it came time to bury Yaakov, when Yosef comes to Paro and he says, Avi Yishbiani Lemar, that I want you to bury me in the place, in the kever that I have in Eretz Canaan. Yosef says, so now it's time, I need to bring my father to burial. So Paro said to Yosef, Zil itch, I know that you took a shvua to your father, you go be shoal on the shvua, undo that shvua. Because Paro knew that the Meimim Mitzrayim were only misbarech in the zuchus of Yaakov Avinu, so he's going to be giving up a lot for the entire country by allowing Yaakov to leave Mitzrayim, by allowing the mita of Yaakov to leave Mitzrayim. That's how the Marsha points out. That was the hesitation. He says the hesitation is merumas in the Psukim, because Yosef apparently says a lot in the Psukim about please, please, please let me take my father. It says Vaydabr Yosef el beis Paro lemar im no matzasi chein beinechem dabr nabazne Paro lemar. So it sounds like Paro needed a lot of convincing. So Yosef had to work hard to convince Paro. The pasuk says alov kavaras avicha kasher hishpiyacha. That go bury your father like you swore to him. Sounds like only because there was a shvua, not because that's just the right thing to do. So Yosef said to Paro, you want me to be shoal on that shvua? I'll be shoal on the shvua that I took to you as well. I took a shvua to you that I'm not going to tell anybody that you don't speak Lashon HaKodesh. If you think a shvua is negotiable and it's something that I could just be shoal on, I could just undo, so I'll undo that shvua as well. So he said to him, okay, even though he wasn't happy about it, he said, you can go bury your father like you had sworn to. So now Yosef had threatened, I'll be shoal on the shvua that I took to you. So there's a Gemara in the Darim of Samachay that says that you can't be matir shvua, that you're nishvah l'chavero, unless it's midas chavero. That if you took a shvua to somebody else, a commitment to somebody else, you need his das to be shoal on that shvua. We learned that from the shvua that Moshe took to Yisro. So Tosfos raises the kasha, how could it be that Yosef could threaten, I'll be shoal on that shvua? Paro will say, no, I don't allow you to be shoal on that shvua. So Tosfos suggests that it was only a guzma that Yosef was saying. He was saying that he was just trying to confuse Paro or to get him to see his side of things. But Aliba de Emes in the Chinami, it was an empty threat. It was not something that he would have been able to do. Shara Melech raises an interesting question. He says, in order to be matu the shvua, so in general you need to be mefarit the shvua. So there's another reason why he can never be shal in the shvua, because you need to be mefarit the shvua, but being mefarit the shvua would be a violation of the shvua, but you can't violate the shvua until you're shal in the shvua. So it would be impossible for him to be shal on this shvua. So that's what the Shara Melech points out. So now the Gemara goes back to what we were talking about. We said that Yosef was Mekadishim Shemayim Bitsina. He got one letter added to his name, the letter Hey added to his name. And we said that Yehuda's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Farasya, that all the letters of Hashem's name are in Yehuda's name. So Yehuda Mayhi, what's the story with Yehuda being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Bifarasya? Titanya Hayra Meir Amar Kshamdu Yisrael Alayam, when Klal Yisrael stood by the Yam, the Shvatim were arguing with each other. Each one was saying, I want to be the one that jumps in first. The Iyun Yaakov points out that from Lashon of the Gemara, it doesn't sound like all of the Shvatim were fighting with each other. It's Ze Omer Veze Omer. It sounds like it's two groups that were fighting with each other. So he says Mestama, it was Reuven, because he was the Bechar, and Yehuda, because he's the Melech. Meaning sometimes it's obvious that it's going to be someone who's in the leadership position. The question is, which leadership position is it? Is it up to the Bechar, or is it up to the Melech? They were the ones that were arguing about it. So the Eitz Yosef raises the obvious question. question. They're arguing who should go in first. The yam, it's not like a single file narrow path. So the, like, if you're by the beach, let them all go in. Let everyone go in. It's a wide opening to the yam. So I didn't really fully understand his answer. He says that the argument was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u, and that should have been enough. Why does he then have to say, Vayavo'u b'nei Yisrael b'socha yam? So Yehuda was saying that since he's the Bechar, Hashem must have meant him dafka first, in the first pasuk, that he should go first, and then Vayavo'u b'nei Yisrael. Meaning it sounds like it's supposed to be in two stages, and that someone's supposed to go first, and everyone else is supposed to follow. So that's what the taina was, that I'm supposed to go first, and I'm the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have meant when he said that first pasuk. So that's why it wasn't that there wasn't space, it wasn't that they couldn't physically all go, but they understood the Tzivoy Hashem, that that's the way it's supposed to be. So Kavat Shifto Shal Binyamin V'yard Yam Tchila. So the Shev Binyamin jumped in first. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Shom Binyamin Tzair Rodeim. Al Tikri Rodeim, don't read it as Rodeim, Ela Reid Yam, or Rad Yam, that they went into the Yam, they went down to the Yam first. V'yisari Yehuda, and the Sari Yehuda, Rogmim Osam, they started throwing stones at them. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Sari Yehuda, Rigmasam. So Rigmasam is Lashon of Rigima, of stoning, Lefichach, and therefore in the Schar, the Shev Binyamin was Nizdaris to jump into the Yam, to be Mekayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah to jump into the Yam. Zocha Binyamin HaTzadik v'nasu ushbizchun l'gvura. Binyamin HaTzadik was zocha to be the neighbor to the Shechina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says that uvein k'seifav shachein. It says, Binyamin Amar, yidid Hashem yishchal levetach, alav chovev alav kal yom, uvein k'seifav shachein. That the Shechina is right in the middle of the chelek of Binyamin. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us that the chelek of Binyamin contained the ulam, the heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The chelik of Yehuda contained the harabayis, the lishchos, and the azaros, but there was a ritzua that went out from the chelik of Yehuda and encroached on the chelik of Binyamin, where the mizbeach was built. So Binyamin was zoche to be the shechino of the ushpizchan of the gvura, the host, not the neighbor, the host of the shechina, that he owned the area, so to speak, where the shechina was, because he jumped into the yam first. So Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, lo kacha yemaisa. That's not what happened, that everyone wanted to jump in first. Ella, it was the opposite. Ze omer ein ani yorid chil yam. Ze omer ein ani yorid chil yam. Each one was saying, I don't want to jump in first. I forgot who said it. Someone said that elevel devel kim chaim. They're both true. They're not even arguing with each other. When they were far away from the yam, each one said, oh, when we get there, I'm going to jump in first. And then they got right to it, and they said, didn't you say you were going to jump in first? I thought you said you were. So each one was saying that I'm not going to jump in first. So Kavetz Nachshon ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda jumped v'yared liyam tchila, and he went in first. Shenemar suvuni b'chacha shefrayim v'mir beis Yisrael v'Yehuda od rod im kel. So all the Shvatim didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they therefore refused to jump into the Yam because it hadn't split yet. But Shevet Yehuda trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they went into the Yam, and through that they were mekadei shem shemayim because they were mamin b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. So v'alav mefarish b'kabal. And it's about Shevet Yehuda that the Nach tells us that since they jumped into the Yam before it split, that Yehuda davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoshi'eni Elokim Kivou Mayim Adafesh, that because they were already in the water and hadn't split yet, they were davening, Hashem save me, the water's coming up too high, Tavatike B'Yavim Tzula Ve'in Ma'amad Al Tishtefeni Shibolus Mayim Ve'al Tivle'eni Mitzula. So that was the tefillah that Yehuda had before the Yam split. So Ba'osu at that moment when Yehuda was in the Yam and hadn't yet split, Haya Moshe Marich B'Tfila, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening his heart out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should split the Yam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedida Tovim Yam, Ata Marich B'Tfila Fanai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizes Moshe Rabbeinu. There are people that are in distress right now, that my beloved Jewish people are in the Yam, Yehuda's in the Yam, and you're being Marich B'Tfila. So meaning now's not a time to be Marich B'Tfila when Klal Yisrael is Bitzara, meaning the Gemara Maseches Brachos says that at Bishas Sar you have to be Mispala Tfila Ktzara. You do daven. You daven, but it's a tefillah k'tzara. And then you do. Then you see what you could do to help. So Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Mabiyadi Lasos. He says, I understand that you need to do ishtadlus. What am I supposed to do? It's an ocean. How am I supposed to? What do you want me to do other than to daven? So Amar Lo Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yisrael. What you need to do is galvanize the people and tell them all to follow Yehuda. And then you'll pick up your stick and you'll hold it over the Am. And that's schar that Yehuda was the one that jumped in first. Zoch Yehuda lasos memshala b'Yisrael. Yehuda was zocha to be the rulers over Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Haysu Yehuda lekotro Yisrael mamshalosav." That when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Yehuda was neskadesh to be the melech and the moshel over Klal Yisrael. And the very next pasuk says, "Hayamra avayanos," and that's an explanation. Matam haysu Yehuda lekotro Yisrael mamshalosav. Why is it that Yehuda was the Moshel over Klal Yisrael? Mishum da Yam Rav Ayanos. Because the Yam saw the Gvura of Shevet Yehuda in being Moser Nefesh by jumping into the Yam first. So they were Zocha to the Malchus because they did so. And that Mesirus Nefesh was Mekadesh Shem Shemaim. So therefore, the entire name of Yehuda has the letters of the Shem Hashem. And I mean, the entire Shem Hashem is incorporated in the name of Yehuda because they were Moser Nefesh, L'Shem Hashem. And that's what the Gemara meant. And yesterday's daf, when we said that Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shemaim private, Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim publicly. It was Dafka by the Yam that we were talking about. Now, there were other times that Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. We learned back on Daf Yud that he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim by being Moda in the Maisa of Tamar, and he said, Sadka Mimeni. So, but apparently we're looking for something that was even, more public, that there were more people around at this point in history. So, Tanya, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, E.F. Shalomar, Levi Lamata. So now going back to the formation at Har Grizim and Har Eval. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, you cannot say that Shevet Levi was standing in the valley below the mountain, like the Pasuk sounds like it says in Sefer Yehoshua, because the Pasuk says that V'kol Yisrael is kin of Shotim V'shoftav Om D'Mizel Mizel La'ar Neger HaKohanim HaLevim Noser Om Bris Hashem. So Shekvar Namar, because it already says in Chumash, L'mayla, right? It already has Levi standing L'mayla on the mountain, because it says Elu Yamdu L'Varech HaSam Al Har Grizim Bavmas Yadin Shimon the Levi, right? So Levi is mentioned as one of the Shvatim on Har Grizim. So how could it be that in Sefer Yehoshua we're told that everyone was Neged Levi, that the people on both mountains were Neged Levi, because Levi was in the middle. And then, but in the Chumash it says that Levi was up on Har Grizim. And Yev Shalom Lamaila, you can't say that Levi was entirely Lamaila, Shari Kvar Nemar Lamata, because it says that they were Lamata. So Haketzan, how do we reconcile these two Psukim? So Zikne Kuna Levi Lamata, the Zikanim from the Kohanim and Levim were Lamata, Vashar Lamaila, but everybody else was the Maila. Rabbi Yoshia Amar, Kala Royal Sharis. Anyone who was Ra'ui to be a carrier of the Aron, meaning anyone from the age of 30 until the age of 50, was Lamata, Vashar Lamaila, and everyone else was Lamaila. Tosos quotes from the Yerushalmi, a different teretz to the Stira in the Psukim, that really the entirety of Shevet Levi was on the mountain because the Levi was Hukash to Shimon. It's a Shimon Levi, so if the entirety of Shimon was on the mountain, Levi also was on the mountain. So Mashimon Kulu Allah. Levi also is Kulo Alahar. And the Pasuk means, Pasuk in Yeshua, when it says that they were all Neged HaKohanim HaLeviim, HaKohanim HaLeviim means just the Kohanim. It doesn't mean the Leviim. They're called Leviim a lot of times. Rabbi Shoban Levi, the Gemara tells us in Yivamas, Rabbi Shoban Levi says, B'chaftal Mekomos Nikru Kohanim Leviim. And this is one of those cases where the Kohanim are referred to as Leviim, but it was only the Kohanim that were Lamata and the Leviim Lamaila. That's what the Yerushalmi says, not what our Gemara says. Rabbi Omer, Elu ve'elu Lamata. Not only were the Leviim Lamata, the Yisrael, Lamata Hinomdim, the Yisrael, everybody was Lamata. Because the Lashon Pasuk Yeshua sounds like they stood Mulahar, not Alahar. So, Havchu Pneim, Klape Ar Grizim U'Paschu Bracha, Klape Ar Evel U'Paschu Beklala. It's just that these six Shvatim turned toward Ar Grizim, and those turned toward Ar Evel, but nobody was actually on the mountains. So, my Al, why does the Pasuk pasuk say that they were al har grizim? If they weren't al, if they weren't on the mountain, al besamach, it means that they were nearby the mountain, but not that they were on the mountain mamish. So kidetanya, where do we ever find that the word al means nearby and it doesn't mean literally on? So the pasuk talks about the lechem apanim, and it says v'nasata ala ma'areches levona zaka, that on the arrangement of breads of the lechem apanim, they put al the lechem apanim on the ma'areches levona, the levona spices. This is of course not the first time we've had levona in this mesechta. We learned earlier about how they were in the very beginning of the second parak about how typical korban mincha was brought and how they would use the levona where they would put it together with the shemen and the and the solas, and then they would move the levona over to take the kmitza because the kmitza couldn't have a korecha levona in it. Then they would be makadish b'kli and add the levona back in when they would be makdirit on the mizbeach. But so every korban mincha, or not every, most korbanos mincha had levona, right? The reason it came up was because that's one of the differences between mincha sota and a regular mincha. And a mincha schote, people who are sinners, their korbanos don't have shemen or levona. And the Gemara had said that even though really by all rights they should not get away with paying less money for a korban, it's not proper that a chote is niskar, but we also don't want them to have a nice korban. So levona was like a nice thing. It was to make the carbon a more beautiful carbon. So the lechem apanim was a type of carbon mincha, and it therefore required levona. So they had levona, they had these spoons of levona, and it says in the pasuk that it was put on the mareches. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer al besamach. Yeah, on doesn't mean on; it means nearby. It means by the on the shulchan nearby the mareches. Atomer al besamach, enola al mamish. How do you know it means besamach? Maybe it means literally on. So kshomer Sakosa al ha'aron, when the pasuk describes how they put the paroches al ha'aron, so it says al ha'aron, but there's no way that the paroches was on the aron mamish, because the paroches was meant to be mavdil between the kodesh and the kodesh hakadashim. So the paroches went, it was a vertical paroches. It wasn't something that was spread over the aron. It means that it was besamuch, havi omer, al besamuch. So you see that the word al means besamuch. Why does it say visakosa? Visakosa sounds like a schach, like something that hovers over. So Rashi on Chumash explains that because of the sakosa is the lashon of hagana, of protection. So it was a protective wall as opposed to a protective, roof. So that's what why the word visakosa makes sense. The Ramban says lashon mesach, like a mask, that's something that covers also, not hovering over. So you see that al over there means besamuch, and therefore by the levona al can mean besamuch, and therefore by hargriz mareval that al could also mean besamuch. Doesn't necessarily mean that they were on the mountains, but that they were nearby the mountains. So avchu pneim klape hargrizim upaschu bibracha. They turned toward hargrizim and they started with the bracha. So Tan Rabban, so now we start doing the math. How many brisos were there for each mitzvah in the Torah? So Tan Rabban, baruch beklal, that when Klal Yisrael is by hargrizim areval, the Levim were nisparich, the Klal Yisrael was nisparich by the Levim with a general bracha about all mitzvahs. Baruch asher yakum is called divrei haTorah hazos. Right, it's a very general statement. And then baruch beprat. And then it started getting more detailed about each mitzvah. Baruch asher liyasa pesel maseicha. Right, specific things. Arur bechlal, in the klalos also, in the tocha you have Arur asher lo yakum es divrei haTorah hazos la'asososam. Right, a more general arur, and then arur beprat. On each and every prat of the mitzvah haTorah, there was an arur. Arur ish asher yasa pesel maseicha. So all mitzvahs of the Torah had a baruch bechlal, a baruch beprat, an arur bechlal, and an arur beprat. Now, in addition to that, the Torah tells us that Shema Yisrael asachukim v'samishpatim asharanuchi dover baznech mayom v'limatim asamushmartim lasosem. So we darshan that there are four chalakim of each and every mitzvah. So there's lilmod, to learn the dinim of the mitzvah, because it says v'limaditem osam, and then there's lilamed, to teach other people the dinim of the mitzvah, because it says v'limaditem osam es b'neichem. Then there's lishmar, there's ushmartem, right, the din of shmiras ha-mitzvos, and then there's lasos, of do doing the mitzvos. Marsha points out that the shmira that we're referring to over here means to constantly go over and chazer the dinim of the mitzvos so that we don't forget any of the dinim and we observe them properly. Because otherwise, shmira sounds like it just means something to be on guard, not to violate. But that's only shaykh for mitzvos lo sasei. And we're saying that there's shmira for every mitzvah, including the mitzvah saseh. So it doesn't mean what it normally means, like yishamer is the lashon of lav. It doesn't mean that, like yishamer pen al and lo are lashonos of lav. It means to protect every mitzvah by being fluent in the mitzvahs. Marsha also writes that when we say lasos, it doesn't mean physical activity, because then it would only be referring to mitzvah saseh. It means to put into action, to incorporate into our lives. So just like we incorporate into our lives what to do, we put on tefillin, we put on that, we also incorporate into our lives what not to do. We have dietary restrictions, we have many restrictions, right? There are so that's what lasos means. Sahare, but at the end of the day, it's arba, that each mitzvah is four separate chiyuvim that we had that we were mekabel har grizim har eval. Ooh, so it turns out, if the number of brisos that Klal Yisrael had har grizim, each mitzvah was arba for the to learn the dinei mitzvah, meaning because there was baruch b'chal, baruch b'prat, ar b'chal, ar b'prat, ve'arba, and four brisos for the chiyuv to teach the others the mitzvah, hare shmona. So then you have eight brisos for each mitzvah in the Torah. So now we count out the brisos. So shmona, those that are counted, lilmor ulamid, ushmona, and another eight brisos on the chiyuv of lishma v'lasos, hare sheshesrei. So that leaves you with 16 brisos for each mitzvah in the Torah. V'chein b'sinai, and then that 16 repeated itself at Har Sinai, v'chein b'arvos moav, and at Arvos Moav. So you had three different times where we were given all of the mitzvos, where each mitzvah was 16. So it turned out that it's a total of 48 brisos. So now, once Yehoshua was commanded about the brachos and klalos by Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Levim, after they crossed the Yarden, Be'ar-Grizim, should go through this whole process, it says that the brachos and klalos that Moshe said to Klal Yisrael Ba'arvos Moav, so from the smichos of that command of what to do by the Yarden, and by Arvos Moav, we learned that the brachos and klalos that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael Ba'arvos Moav were in the same format as the Har-Grizim Har-Evil brachos and klalos, meaning a baruch bichlal, baruch beprat, or bichlal, or beprat, all the brisos. So then we have Har Sinai as well. Shnemer Eile Divrei Brisa Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. Aside from the bris b'choriv, it says Milvada Brisa Asher Karasi Tam b'choriv. So we see from the fact that it says Milvada Brisa Asher Karasi Tam b'choriv that even the bris that they had at Har Sinai, that's choriv, was also in the same format. So Ksiv Ushmartim Es Divrei Brisa Azos, and the pasuk says Ushmartim Es Divrei Brisa Azos. So Nimsa, it turns out that if there were three times they had a krisus bris with Klal Yisrael on all the mitzvos, and each mitzvah had 16 brisos, four brisos which are baruch b'chal, baruch prat, or b'chal, and or b'prat, and on each one of the four chalakim of each mitzvah, v'lumel lami lishma v'lasos, so it's arba'im u'shmona brisos, al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah. Turns out it's 48 brisos for each and every mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, not like, Rabbi Shimon says that Yehoshua was not Kori's bris with Klal Yisrael, Bahar Grizim, he was only Kori's bris on the 11 Arun that are mentioned in the parsha, but not on all the other mitzvahs. So in the three times, the krisus bris by Ar-Grizim and Ar-Evil does not get included. But there's another one to take its place. Motzi Ar-Grizim and Ar-Evil, take away Ar-Grizim and Ar-Evil from your cheshbon, umachnis ol moed shebemidbar, and instead put in the ol moed shebemidbar, that after they erected the Mishkan, Hashem taught Moshe all of the mitzvahs HaTorah, and he taught him the entire Torah, ba'orer and bracha, but Tanakama learned that that was just a hemshech of the limud from Har Sinai, and it was not considered, that Ol Moed was not considered a separate bris that was arranged. So Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, who disagree whether we count Ol Moed as one of the three times, or we count Har Grizim Har Evel, ubeplukta dahani tanoi, they're really arguing about the machlokas that already appears in the following brisa. Titania Rabbi Shmuel Omer, klalos nemru b'sinai, that the klalim of the mitzvahs were said at Sinai, upratos ba'ol moed, but the details were then given at Ol Moed. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Omer, Klalos upratos nemru b'Sinai v'nishnu b'ol moed. It was all said at Sinai, and then it was repeated at Ol Moed v'nishtal shul b'Arvos Moav, and then it was repeated at Arvos Moav. So you see that Rabbi Kiva tells us that in three places, Har Sinai, Ol Moed, and Arvos Moav, Klal Yisrael is commanded in the Brisal, the Klal Bracha, all that stuff. And in each of these three places, we had 600. We had 16 brisos. Say the Chachal Dvar Mitzvah, Mitzvah Shiksuv B'Torah Shlonich B'Sualah Arba'im Mushmana Brisos. And therefore, every mitzvah in the Torah calculates we have 48 brisos, 3 times 16. So now we understand that the Tanakama, who counted Har Grizim and did not count Ol Moed, holds like Rabbi Shmuel, that Har Sinai and Ol Moed were really one unit, because one of them was mashlim the other. Har Sinai only had the klalim, and Ol Moed added in the pratim. So that's why it's considered one bris, and that the third place must have been Har Grizim and Har Eval, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Har Sinai and Ol Moed were two different places, because in each place, the entirety of Torah was given with the klalim and the pratim, all of it. And therefore, in order to say that there are 48 brisos, you don't have to include Har Grizim among the three places. So the three places were Har Sinai, Ol Moed, and Arvos Moav. And Har Grizim is only the Achad Asar Arurin that are not, and therefore it's not counted in the Cheshbon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Ish Kfar Akko, Amar Mishim Rabbi Shimon, that he says that since all Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, Zarevim Zelazah, and if one Jew sins, it's every Jew has a chelek in that sin, because we're all responsible for one another, and it's not only when it's not only that we become an arev on the actual avera that the guy did, but on all 48 brisos that are incorporated in each avera that the other person does. Say the chal mitzvah mitzvah shiksuv b'Torah shlonuch sola arba'im ushmona brisos shel sheish meos elef ushlosh shesalafim v'chamesh meos v'chamishim, that every single Jew has 48 brisos times the number of Jewish people that there are, times the number of mitzvahs that there are, right? Of 603,550 people. That's how many people were there by our grizim when we got the brachos klalos. So every Jew is arev for 48 brisos of his own, plus 48 brisos of each and every other Jew. Amarebi l'divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar akko, sham mishum Rabbi Shimon. According to that cheshbon of Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar akko, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, ein l'chol kol mitzvah mitzvah shebetorah shalnichrusu aleha arba'im u'shmona brisos shel sheish meos elef u'shlosh shalav v'chamesh meos v'chamishim, that every mitzvah in the Torah has 48 brisos times the number of Jewish people there are. Nimtzal l'kol echad v'echad m'Yisrael sheish meos elef u'shlosh shalav v'chamesh meos v'chamishim, for each and every mitzvah. So it turns out from Rebbe, it seems that he's coming to be mosif on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon more than Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, but says more might be now. He just repeated the same thing, meaning we just said, okay, there's ours. So yes, in addition to my 48 brisos on each mitzvah that I'm chayiv in the 48 brisos on each and every mitzvah that every Jew is chayiv in, for each and every Jew, that you multiply it times 603,550. Maybe now, but what's the chilek between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda? What's Rebbe adding that Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda did not already say? So it says, I'm Rav Misharshia, Arva, the Arva, the Arva, Ika Benayu. It's whether you're an Arev on the other person's Arevos. That's the Nafkamina. The Rav Shimon Yehuda holds that each Jewish person is an Arev for the other person for the Avera that he did, and for his 48 Brisos that are included in that Avera that he violates when he does an Avera. But on everybody else's Arvos for that person who violated the Avera, that I'm not an Arev on. And Rebbe holds, not only am I an Arev for each and every person's actual actions, if Reuven does an Avera and Shimon is an Arev for that, I'm an Arev for Shimon being an Arev. I'm responsible for the Arvos of everybody else as well. So it turns out everyone was Mekabel on themselves 48 brisos of Sheish Meos Elef U'Shlosh Shalav V'Chamesh Meos V'Chamishim, which is the Arvos on the actual Averos and the brisos that they violate, and in everyone within that minion is Mekabel another Shishim Ribo 603,550 brisos, which is the Arvos on the Arvos that each person has. So the kasha that the Achronim bother with this whole sugya is the Main Afkamina, right? Meaning what's the impact of after that, and particularly this last step, meaning if I'm already an Ariv on the person doing the Avera, so what does it add to, meaning what does the second Arvos add that I'm an Ariv for everybody else also? I'm an Ariv directly. Why does it add to be an indirect Ariv? Why is that any better? But okay, there must be something very deep over here. Tarash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani Meturgamani to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani was the Metargim of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and he darshan Kala Parsha Kula. All the 11 Arurim that it says by Hargriz and Areval, Lo Nemru El Benoif and Oefes. It's all addressing the Isser Niyuf of Anashas Ish. It's all addressing the adultery. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmani proves this. Because if you're going to say that it's kipshuto, so ora isha shayasa pesel masecha, so it means that for making a pesel, it means for making masecha, it means for making avodah zara. That can't be. But ora sagilei, someone who does that is a kofar be'ikr. It's just going to be an aror. He gets much more of an onesh than just an aror. So it doesn't make sense that it's just an aror. Now, what exactly is the Gemara's question? The Marsha points out the Gemara's question can't be v'chi ba'or sagilei. What do you mean? Novid avodah zara is chayiv skila. So an aror is not enough, because then you can ask the same kasha about noef and noefes as well. Shochiv meshesaviv, shochiv mechosanto. All of those things, yuchayiv, a misa chamura, aside from being aror. So why would the Gemara only ask that in avodah zara? And he's saying it's a noef aleishes ish. That's also misa chenek. So he could ask the same kasha on himself. So the Marsha explains, when the Gemara says v'chisagi ba'orur, it means that the lashon of aror sounds like you're only cursed in Olam Hazeh, but in Olam Haba you're still going to have a chelik in Olam Haba. So Gemara says, no, Kofar Biker doesn't even have a chelik in Olam Haba. He's a mumra l'avod z'chavim. A mumra l'avod z'chavim is a mumra l'kal ha-Torah kula. He doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. So that's why Rabbi Bar Nachmani explains that the parsha is talking about a bo'el and eshes ish, that he had such a person, at least he still has a chelik in Olam Haba, and bo'el arayos in general, at least they have a chelik in Olam Haba. So yes, they're chayiv misa, and yes, it's very terrible, and yes, they're a rasha, but they have a chelik in Olam. So that's what we're saying. Ba'or sagilei, to say that there's aror down here in Olam Hazeh and that there's chayiv misa and all that, is that enough? Shouldn't it be more than that? Ella ze haba ala erva. So it must be the parsha is talking about someone who's boel in erva, particularly the erva of eshes ish, v'holid bein, and they have a child from that eshes ish. And then that child went because he's a mamzer. So a mamzer is completely rejected, meaning he's not able to marry anyone. He essentially feels very rejected. So he goes and he joins another community, a community of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that's what it means. Or isha shayasa pesel masecha. Arurin of vimushazesha kach garmelo. Arurin of the father and mother of that child that made their kid into a mamzer, who therefore had to go. Felt that he had no choice in life but to be oved avodah zarah. That's the aror that we're referring to over here. Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells Moshe Rabbeinu was commanding Klal Yisrael that when you go into Eretz Yisrael v'nasatas habracha l'argrizim esaklala on Har Eval, so matam lomar, what is the pasuk teaching me? Im l'lamit shetei bracha l'argrizim esaklala on Har Eval. Well, you might say, what do you mean? What's it teaching me? It's teaching me that you do the brachas and argrizim and the klalas on Har Eval. Well, harei kvar nemar. No, there already is a pasuk. Not already, it's after, but still, it's there is a pasuk Eli Yamdu Levarich Hasa'am Al Hargrizim, and the pasuk after says Veli Yamdu Al Haklala Bar Eval. So we already know where the bracha is and where the klala is. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling us? Ela lahakdim bracha leklala. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that by each klala of the 11 arurim, you first have to say a bracha that corresponds to it, and only then can you say the klala. Now, why didn't we get that from the other pasuk? It says Eli Yamdu Levarich. It says that first. So the Achronim point out, yeah, the fact that if it only would have said it once and it would have put bracha before klala, well, something's got to go before something. Meaning al karchach, you can't say them both. From two sides of your mouth at the same time. So something's going to have to say, but I wouldn't know that it's dafka. How do I know that it's dafka bracha before klala? Because it mentions bracha first both times. So yachli you call a bracha's kalmus klala. So you might think the seder advarim is go through the whole list of brachos and then the klalos. Tamlomar bracha uklala. Bracha achas kodemus l'klala. Ve'in kol bracha kodemus l'klalos. That it's one bracha prior to uklala, but not all of the brachos prior to uklala. U'lahakish bracha l'klala. And there are other hakeshim that we have between the bracha and klala. Lomar l'cha. Ma klala b'levim. Just like the klala is with the levim, was said by the levim, like it says, v'an levim v'armu arur. Sa'av bracha b'levim. Bracha is also b'levim. U'ma klala b'kal ram. And just like klala is b'kal ram, because it says, v'amru b'kal ram. Av bracha b'kal ram, the bracha is also b'kal ram. Uma klal b'lishon hakodesh, and just like we learned back in Daf Lamed Gimel from the Gzeira Shava of kol, that it's b'lishon hakodesh. Saf bracha b'lishon hakodesh, bracha is also b'lishon hakodesh. Uma klal b'klal uprat, and just like the klal is said in klal uprat, some of the orish asher yakum is divrei Torah zos, and then we get into details. So af bracha b'klal uprat, the bracha is also b'klal uprat. Uma klal elu ve'elu on v'omer m'main, and just like by the klal, those who are sitting in our grizim as well as those standing on Har Eval had to answer Amen on each and every klala. So to be the bracha, each and every person, both in Har Gizim and Har Eval, had to answer Amen. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Zayin and Beis. A good Shabbos, everybody.
Okay, good Shabbos.